Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has been out into the wilderness and now begins his ministry to proclaim the word of God. And the first words that come from Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I believe that everybody in this room this morning knows the word repent, repentance. I think everybody in this room would say that you think you have a core understanding of what that means. And I would agree. However, I want to caution us and warn us this morning that perhaps our thinking of what repentance is and what it actually is, scripturally speaking, may be two different things in our lives. May I suggest to you this morning that whether you are a child of God or have not yet obeyed the gospel, if we do not understand and correctly apply the word repentance to our lives as followers of God, then we can do a lot of other things for Christ and still miss our mark. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us a fact that we all know. "For all, for you, for I, for everyone on earth has sinned, and we do fall short of the glory of God." Every single one of us has done something in our life, if we are to that age, where whether we know it or we do not yet know it, we have chosen selfishly. We have chosen to do something against the will of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but that God is patient towards you. He is patient towards me. And He does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God does not look down upon us as created beings and say, "You have done wrong. No second chances. You will be punished." God looks down upon us and says, "That is my creation. It is good. I love that. I want to save that creation. I have done something in offering my son, my only son, upon a cross. But yet there is still something that needs to happen." We can't just proclaim that we love Jesus Christ, that we understand who God is and that He is our creator, and that should get us an entrance into heaven. While God loves us, while He is patient, there is something that is required of you and me, and that is repentance. But there is a correct repentance that is needed. As we learn from many scriptures, I've chosen to share with you Matthew chapter 7, 21. When Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but notice who will enter into heaven." Jesus says, "He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." I bring this scripture to our attention this morning to focus in on the word repentance, and so that we can ask ourselves this morning, are we truly repenting away from our sins? This year we are focusing as a local congregation on following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. This is one of the first things that's out of Jesus' mouth when He comes and begins to preach. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So I want us to ask ourselves this morning, are we repenting by means of our own thoughts, our own judgments? Or are you and I repenting away from sin in the manner in which Jesus would have us to do? You look up in Greek dictionaries and things, you know, that preachers do, and you see this word metanoia, just the Greek word for repentance. So what does it mean? When men look at the scriptures, when men look at the Bible and they say, "We see that this is what it means," here's what they have said. That repentance means to change your mind. It means to abhor or hate error, hate sin in your life. And then to have a determination to have a better course of life. That doesn't mean a better course to our judgment, to God's judgment. We are to recognize sin and have a sorrow for it in our lives. This morning, I simply want to bring to our attention as children of God and those who might not yet have obeyed the gospel, what the scripture says repentance, and make sure that we are aligning ourselves to a godly repentance. From our scriptures this morning, we went to 2 Corinthians, and I'd like to ask you to go there with me once more. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul here writes a follow-up letter from his first letter to the Corinthian Christians. He has some pretty scathing remarks for them in his first letter, and then understands their response to some of those things. And therefore is the context of when he writes these things together. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. Though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. Verse 10, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. I want to begin this morning by answering what repentance is not. Repentance is not sorrow alone. It is not sorrow alone. Notice what he says in verse 8. I made you sorrowful. But he says it's not about the sorrow that I really care about. It's not that I hurt your feelings, that somehow the words that I presented you made you feel guilt for a day or so. He even addresses that and says, you were only made sorrowful for a short time. He wants to rejoice in the type of sorrow, repentance, that leads to salvation. And we'll get to that in a moment. How many a man, even brothers and sisters in Christ, have felt guilty for sin in their life? I got to tell you, there's some times in my life where I just get angry at myself. Maybe you can relate to this. I do. I get angry at myself because I look at myself and I say, but Adam, you just repented away from that sin 1 week ago. Why are we having to talk to God about it all over again? And I can tell you why. Because if I'm honest with myself, and if you are as well, most of the times when we, quote unquote, repent away from our sins, we're not having a change of mind. We're not abhorring and hating sin in our life, are we, Christians? What we're doing is we're having a sorrow, a worldly sorrow, that really is just feeling guilt that we were caught. And so that's why in another week we're going to have to go back to God and say, well, God, I've done it again. God, here it goes again. Will you forgive me one more time? Will you forgive me this 50th time, God? It's because we don't look at sins in our life as sins. We don't look at it as the importance that it is. And sometimes we look to God and our prayers to God as just this avenue of which whenever we fall, now it's God's turn to forgive us because we asked Him. What does it mean to repent in your life? Paul talks about a godly sorrow and a worldly sorrow. May I suggest to you a good example of worldly sorrow would be some of those famous people that we see from time to time in the news. Perhaps there's been adultery. Perhaps there's been a DUI. Perhaps there's been something worse than that, and they've actually had a fatality in a wreck. They come out, and many people in the media that are popular in our culture, they come out this letter and they say, I apologize for this and I apologize for that. Are they really sorrowful, or is they sorry that they got caught? It's kind of like our children when they're young, right? Sometimes they come up to us, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad." But do they really mean it, or do they get their hands stuck in the cookie jar? There's a difference, right? So we have to ask ourselves as adult Christians, what type of sorrow, what type of repentance do we actually have in our lives as Christians, in our relationship with God? Feeling sorry about something does not give forgiveness. Many people struggle with anger. And then they'll fly off at somebody, say things they wish they had not said, and they feel really bad about it. But then 1 week, they're going to do it again. Another day, they're going to do it again. Somebody who struggles with alcoholism, now has become a Christian. Perhaps they've gone back to the well. Perhaps now they've gotten drunk one more time. And they feel really bad about it the next morning. But if there's no change in their heart and they know they're going to do it again in a few days, then that's not godly sorrow. That's not repentance. See, there's all types of things we can feel sorry about. We can feel sorrow about being caught. We can feel sorrow that somebody knows. Perhaps we've had a secret sin and it's been okay for a long time, but now somebody knows. So now it's all of a sudden it feels bad to us because somebody else knows about it. Perhaps some of us can relate to that. Brethren, do not confuse that when we feel a temporary guilt, that is true repentance. True repentance has to come with a change, not just feeling guilt about something. Let me prove it to you from the Word of God. Go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. People in the world, and even us as Christians, can be caught at times saying, "Well, I feel really guilty about something. I feel bad. I will try to change for a momentary time. So that must mean that everything's okay." Look at Matthew chapter 27 with me. And I want you to read verses 3 through 5. And I want us to answer the question if this example shows us a godly sorrow and if it shows repentance at all. Matthew chapter 27 verse 3. Judas, who had betrayed him, that being Christ, saw that he had been condemned. Notice what it says. He felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is it to us? See to that yourself." He threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. The next time, friends, that we look upon our lives as Christians and say, "Well, I feel really guilty about that, and so it must be done away with. I'll just try not to do it again." Remember the example of Judas. In verse 3, he felt remorse. But would any of you in this room say that he had a godly sorrow that led to repentance? Judas felt remorse, and that remorse led to further sin of taking his own life. There was no repentance within that. Repentance in our life is not just sorrow, and it's certainly not just a change of habit. Go with me, if you would, still in Matthew, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. There is change that is needed when we truly repent away from our sins. But brethren, I do not want us to be confused this morning to say, "Well, if we just stop something in our life, then everything is forgiven and it's okay." There's a lot of things that we can do in our life to just stop. Somebody who, let's say, is struggling with a certain temptation can stop it if they see that this is harming their physical life. Husbands, wives, we can stop lying to our spouse if we see that we don't want to go down that path and get yelled at and deal with the frustration and drama that happens within marriage. You see my point. We can stop doing things in our life, but that doesn't mean we're doing it because we want to return back to God. We just want to keep ourselves out of trouble. Matthew chapter 3 is an example of something like that. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father,' for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with the water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Verse 12, "His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." What does all this mean in the application to us in just changing a habit? Well, ask yourself, what are the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to John the Baptist to do? It would seem noble and it would seem obedient, right? They're coming to him to be baptized. They're coming and saying, "John the Baptist, baptize us." You would think it would be great. "Glad you're repenting away from your sins. Come on." Is that what John the Baptist says? He says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." He knows the Pharisees, he knows the Sadducees, that they are not for repentance. Brethren, we can do all types of things in our life, but if not for the right reasons, then it's for nothing. The same could be said as New Testament Christians. If one has come to the waters of baptism and wanted to be baptized without the heart of repentance behind it, then all you've done is taken a bath. If you want to go into the waters of baptism because perhaps somebody within your family or your friends, or you feel pressure from somebody, whether you're 12 years old or 50 years old, if it's done because of that, then it's all for nothing. The same as the Pharisees, same as the Sadducees. Repentance is needed in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. That means change. And if we do not change, John the Baptist was very clear when he talked about Jesus burning up those that are sinful in the unquenchable fire. Brethren, please do not misunderstand this morning and say, "Well, I have stopped something in my life, and so we're good." Yes, we need to make changes in actions in our lives. But if the heart doesn't follow it up, and we're just doing it to please somebody else, doing it to get somebody off of our back, then that's not truly repenting. What is repentance? I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians once more. I'm going to read once more verses 8 through 10. "Though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death." What is repentance? What should it look like in our lives? It should be a change of mind. A change of mind. I ask us this morning, if we are Christians, are we truly repenting when we go to God in prayer? When we confess sins to our Lord, are we just confessing it? Or have we actually in our heart said, "I hate that I did that. I want to change my mind. I no longer want to do that"? Godly sorrow has a recognition of sin within our life. Do you recognize sin in your life? Or do we make excuses for the sins in our lives? The difference between feeling bad that you got caught and having a godly sorrow is recognizing it, is hating that it's in your life, and is a determination to change for the Lord. So again, I'll go back to this principle and this question. What is it that we're doing when we quote unquote repent away from sin in our prayers? Do we feel that repentance is just confessing it, feeling bad about it today? Or is it that when we pray to God that we tell God what we've done, we hate that we've done something before Him, and we've said to ourselves, what can I do to no longer do this? Otherwise, we're confessing and making no plan. Godly sorrow leads to salvation. Do we have a godly sorrow for sin in our lives? I have an example for one that had this, and we can look at many. But I chose this one because I don't think this is one of the first places that you would go. Many people would say the prodigal son, well, I don't know if he had godly sorrow. Wasn't he just upset because all the money had run out and he didn't have any food? And well, it's just time to go back to the father. In Luke chapter 15, verse 17, it says, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up, go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Let me propose three things that happen within these two verses. He came to his senses. That is a recognition of sin in his life. Father, I have sinned. He understands it, hates that he did it. And his determination to change is, I will get up and I will return. And that's what repentance is. Returning to the Father's way, not our way. But is that what we have in our life? Do we see repentance in our life as hating something? Setting up in our mind that we will no longer do it? Or is it, I just feel bad about it, I'll try not to do it again, I might do it again next week, I'll ask for forgiveness again then. True repentance bears fruit in our lives. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. How do we know if we are truly repenting in a way that is pleasing, that is leading to salvation and forgiveness? In Acts chapter 16, Paul, on his journey there through Ephesus, I want to read with you verses 30 through 33. He's in jail. The earthquake comes, and now he's being released. Verse 30. After he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in the house. Notice the response in verse 33 from the Philippian jailer and his family. He took them that very hour of the night, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all of his household. Brethren, this is what repentance should look like in our life. The jailer comes to understand the word of the Lord in verse 32. He doesn't stand by and say, well, maybe I'll wait for another day. He doesn't say, well, now I feel guilty about things I've done in my life. He hears the word of the Lord and it says what? He waited around for a week. He wanted to know more. It says he immediately was baptized. And it also says that very hour of the night he washed their wounds. He changed his mind. He hated that he had sin in his life. He cared for Paul. He was baptized immediately. He changed his heart. That is what repentance looks like. It's a change of heart. And it is a change of habit, but not just for the sake of habit alone. Look in Acts chapter 19 with me. Acts chapter 19. Now Paul in Ephesus. Excuse me. Acts chapter 19 verses 18 and 19. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. There Paul is preaching. False teachers are trying to call upon the name of Jesus in their false healings. They listen. The crowd obeys. And notice what the response was. They believed. They confessed. They disclosed their practices. And they burned their books. When I think about this example of Paul walking into this town and saying, here is the truth, and then hearing about those coming to repentance and wanting to be baptized and wanting to obey the gospel, I appreciate so much this account that it includes that they had their sorcery and their idol worship and all those things enclosed, and they just burned them. They took them out in the city and they burned them. And then I try to think about myself and think, is that what repentance looks like in my life? All of us confess and repent away from sin in our lives. But would you be willing to take something that's been sinful in your life and take it out and burn it? If there is something in your life that keeps leading you away from God, after you repent away from it, after you confess it to Jesus Christ, do you still allow it in your life? I think about entertainment that we allow in front of us. I think about the places that we go, the things that we read, the entertainment that we involve ourselves in. If we were going to truly repent away from something in our lives, then we should get it out of our lives and purge it from our lives, not keeping that in front of our eyes and our ears. True repentance means a change. Not saying, I am sorry, Father, but I am sorry and I will make a change as these people did. A change of heart, a change of habit, and a change in your obedience. Would you go with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to read with you verses 8 through 10. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Paul writing to the Thessalonians, he says, we've heard about your faith. We've heard about how you used to worship idols. But everyone knows now how you've turned from idols, how you no longer do that, how you obey the Lord. I would ask us this morning, is this what repentance looks like in our life? Could people look around us and say to us that we have made a change in our life? That we look different than the world? Once we learn the truth, it is time to act. So many people look at repentance more at confession. A true repentance means that we will see it, acknowledge it, and make a change. So may I address this morning those of us that are Christians. Are there sins in your life? Have you made any plan to stop those sins in your life and begin to obey? If you're not yet a child of God, do you want to know what repentance looks like in your life? When you learn the truth that you stop sin in your life and you obey. We can feel bad about sin in our life all we want. We can feel guilty about sin in our life all we want. But until we make a change and decide to act upon the will of God, we are still not saved. These people acted in such a way that their obedience was seen all throughout. So I'll close this morning trying to answer the question, then how do we do it? How do we repent? How do we put that into action? How can we be better at changing our heart, changing our habits? First, by learning the word of God and then obeying it. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized this morning, have you learned the truth of the gospel? Have you truly repented and turned away from sin in your life? And have you been baptized? If you are a child of God this morning, are you continuing to obey the word of the Lord? Or just going to Him and confessing your sins? Brethren, unless we understand what repentance is in our life, then we can be lost. So what's it look like? Are you recognizing sin in your life this morning? Are you making justification and excuses for sins in your life? When we recognize that sin in our lives, do we feel moved to make a change? Do we hate that it's there? Do we hate that we've gotten caught? And are we determined to change? Unless we have a determination to change for the Lord, then we will still be lost in our sins. Repentance equals a change. Repentance equals a U-turn around, a return to the Lord. As it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Have you done that this morning? Have you put on Christ through baptism? If you have not, I ask you to heed the examples that we have looked at. Not just feel sorry about your sins, not just confess them to the Lord, but go away from them. If you are a child of God this morning, are we truly repenting? I encourage us to go out into our lives this week and take a look at the things in our life and see where we can make changes. If we can help you with any spiritual need, we ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.